Well, we're continuing our study in Hebrews 11, so we'll go ahead and turn there. Hebrews 11. I heard somebody say once that a person doesn't really know how to live until he knows how to die. And tonight we're going to look at the faith of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And each of these men lived a lifetime of faith. There's much that could be said about their faith. But the writer of Hebrews chose to emphasize only one aspect of their faith, their dying faith. And we're going to look at the lives of these three men who at the end of their lives demonstrated that they believed God. They died in faith. And as we've said before, this chapter is like a graveyard of tombstones, where each tombstone says either he believed God or she believed God. And that's really the greatest testimony a person can have. It's actually the most important thing about a person. It doesn't matter who they were or what they accomplished or how much they had in the bank. The most important thing about a person is that they believed God at the end of the road. And these three men in particular demonstrated that. And that's the aspect of their faith that the writer wanted to communicate. The first person that's mentioned in the Hall of Faith is Abel. And we're told at the end of verse 4 that even though he's dead, he still speaks. And that's really true of each person that we find in the Hall of Faith. Their faith really still speaks. Abel's faith showed us where faith begins. Abel was the first person to be declared righteous by faith. Enoch's faith showed us that faith continues. It's a walk by faith with God day by day. And then Noah showed us that faith obeys. It shows itself by doing what God has said. And Abraham, last time we looked, showed us the pattern of faith. And we looked at four portraits of Abraham's faith. Faith obeys, faith waits patiently, faith believed God for the impossible, and true faith never fails. And so already these lives have taught us a lot about faith. But when we come to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, though a whole lot could be said about their life of faith, the writer of Hebrews wants us to see their dying faith. He wants us to see that faith hopes. It says in verse 20, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." So each of these men, when they were about to die, demonstrated that faith hopes. The definition of hope as it's presented in Scripture is a forward look of assurance. I think Pastor Custis taught us that. Hope is a forward look of assurance. And when what we're going to see in each of these verses and what it says about these three men is that their faith looked forward with assurance and it passed down the promise and they died in peace. And we're going to see all three elements in each of their lives. We have in these men a portrait of the dying faith of men who really walked with God. They knew how to live and how to die by faith. So these men weren't without their failures. But they each had a purpose in God's plan, and they each received a promise. And though their faith had its ups and downs, in death they were looking forward with assurance by faith. And I've quoted Hudson Taylor before. I think he would have been included in this chapter if he had lived before it had been written. In fact, there are many people who could have fit in this chapter. This kind of faith isn't really reserved for just men and women who received these amazing promises. God's the one who makes men and women of faith. But I mention Hudson Taylor because at the end of his life, this is what he said. "I can't read, I can't think, I can't even pray, but I can trust." So after a lifetime of faith and obeying and serving God, even though he had his own ups and downs, the one thing he could still do was trust. And these three men also lived a life of up and down faith. But at the end of their lives, as we see here in Hebrews 11, they died trusting. And Hebrews makes it clear what that looked like. Their faith hoped. All three of them were looking forward with assurance. They passed down the promise, and they each died in peace. A person doesn't really know how to live until he knows how to die. And these three men lived lives of faith, and they died in faith. And the first of these men is Isaac. And Isaac was the promised son, the one through whom this great nation would begin. But Isaac had what some commentators said more of a passive faith. He was born into a family that had lived as pagans, but they were a long ways into their life of faith by the time Isaac was born. Isaac got to watch the faith of a husband and wife who had learned that God is faithful. And sometimes they struggled to believe that. We saw that last time. But as Isaac grew up, he was living, walking proof to them that God is faithful and he can do anything. And I'm sure that they told him that often. It probably wasn't long before Isaac himself realized that it was unusual for him to have such elderly parents. So he probably believed his parents when they told him that God had a special plan for him and that his birth was a miracle. And think what it must have been like for Isaac, who would have been old enough to know what was going on, when Abraham tied him to an altar. You know, we don't know exactly what was going on in his mind while during that scene. But he must have heard God's voice when he stopped Abraham from killing him and he provided a ram in his place. I'm sure that whole scene made a huge impression on Isaac's young faith. Later, Isaac was given a wife that Abraham's servant had chosen, but one that was obviously God's choice, and Isaac loved her. But these are the reasons why people say he had more of a passive faith. He watched God protect him and provide for him for no other reason except that he'd been told he was a promise from God. So it may not have been much of a struggle for Isaac to believe. Unlike some of the others, he didn't do anything big or hard to prove his faith. He wasn't asked to do much in his life. But we know he had genuine faith because he died believing. And a person's faith or lack of faith is really proven at the time of death. And I think that's why we're given a glimpse of Isaac's dying faith. It proves he had genuine faith. His dying faith had those three elements in it. He was looking forward with assurance. He passed down the promise and he died in peace. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And this is found in Genesis chapter 27. And we'll be turning back and forth so if you want to keep your finger in Hebrews 11. But Genesis 27 is where he blesses Jacob and Esau. And the story, I know it's familiar. Isaac told Esau that he was going to bless him. But Jacob deceived his father and Isaac blessed him instead of Esau. But even though Jacob deceived his father, God used the deception of Jacob to accomplish his plan. When Jacob and Esau were in the womb, God revealed to Rebekah that the older one was going to serve the younger one. So before they were even born, God told Isaac and Rebekah that the blessing was going to be passed through Jacob. But Isaac still planned on blessing Esau first. So, you know, even our faith can sometimes be mixed with our own motives and plans, but God's plan always overrules, and that's what happens here in this chapter. But we're told in Hebrews that by faith, Isaac blessed both Jacob and Esau. So this little attempt at his own plan wasn't even mentioned. It just says he blessed them both by faith, and he did bless them both. He blessed them concerning things to come, and that's that first element of faith, that hopes. Isaac's faith was looking forward with assurance. And we see this in the blessing of Jacob, which is in verse 28 and 29. It says, therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So his faith was looking forward with assurance that it would be this way. And he also passes down the Abrahamic covenant. At the end of the verse, he says, cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. He was passing down that promise. And then look at the blessing of Esau in verse 39. It says, and Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. So he spoke of things to come for Esau as well. But the Abrahamic covenant was passed on to Jacob, which was exactly God's plan. When faith hopes, it looks forward with assurance. And Isaac had grown up believing, he had grown up hearing that promise that I'm sure Abraham rehearsed over and over again. But here near the end of his life, he proved that it had become his. And he passed on the promise to others. So if you turn back to Hebrews 11, we saw this last time. The patriarchs saw the promises afar off, we're told in verse 13, and they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. And that's why, by faith, says in verse 20, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Faith hopes, it looks forward with assurance. And he was so certain that after he died, he wouldn't find anything different from what he believed, that he passed down that promise to his sons. And because faith hoped, he died in peace. Genesis tells us he died being old and full of days. Isaac lived the longest of any of the patriarchs. Hebrews says that he died in faith, verse 13, not having received the promise, because he was fully persuaded of the promises. He was fully convinced of who God is and what he has said, that he lived and he died in the full conviction of that. Well, next we have his son Jacob, which is in verse 21. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. So Jacob also blesses his sons by faith. He blesses his son's sons, and we're told it was when he was dying. So again, this is faith that hoped in death. He was looking forward with assurance. He passes down the promise, and he died in peace. And we have a lot more recorded about Jacob's life than we do Isaac. Jacob, for much of his life, was a deceiver, and it took him a while to claim God, the God of his father Abraham and Isaac, as his God. He would often just call him the God of my father Isaac, or the God of my father Abraham, even when God appeared to him. And God did appear to him five times in his life, but every time it was to correct something or to make some kind of change in his life. So unlike his father Isaac, trusting didn't come as easily for Jacob. His wasn't a passive faith like Isaac's had been, one that easily trusted. Jacob had to grow in his faith. He had a hard life, a lot of ups and downs. But Hebrews passes over all that, and it mentions his faith at the end of his life, when he was dying. It's like the writer of Hebrews is saying the most important scene of Jacob's life is his deathbed, because there he proved that he was a man of faith. And it's difficult for anyone on their deathbed to keep living a lie. The end of Jacob's life proved that he was no longer a deceiver, but one who had really claimed God as his God. And he was so convinced of the promise that he passed that on, and he died in peace. So Jacob had genuine faith, and we see that in the fact that at the end of his life, his faith hoped. Jacob was the next link into the promise being fulfilled, and he was a very significant link. As we know, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and most of the time, Abraham's descendants are called the children of Israel. So he was a very important link in the promise of God. And Jacob passes down that promise, we're reminded here, to Joseph's sons, to Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob had 12 sons, as we know, but he passes down the promise to the sons of Joseph. It was very similar to his own blessing in that Joseph's younger son was blessed over the older son, and both of the sons were blessed. And just like Isaac, he blessed them concerning things to come. He was looking forward with assurance, and he passes down the promise to these two sons. And we find this in Genesis chapter 48. Genesis 48. And before he blesses Ephraim and Manasseh, Jacob reminded Joseph that he had been given the Abrahamic promise. It says that in verse 3. It says, Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. So the Abrahamic promise had been passed down to Jacob, and he was about to pass it down to Joseph's sons. That's how sure he was of the promise. And he chose to pass it down to Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. In verse 5, it says, and now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon. they shall be mine. So Ephraim and Manasseh were born in Egypt before Jacob went to Egypt, and he's passing on the blessing to grandsons who had never even been to the promised land. Ephraim and Manasseh didn't grow up sojourning in the land of promise, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob like many of Jacob's other grandsons did. They grew up in Egypt, in the royal palace. Pharaoh was probably like another father to these boys. Their mother was the daughter of an idolatrous priest. They were probably considered princes in Egypt because their father, Joseph, was considered a prince. And even at their young age, they probably already owned their own land in Egypt just because they were royalty. So the sojourning life in a land that didn't actually belong to them was a foreign concept to Ephraim and Manasseh. But Jacob says, I'm claiming Ephraim and Manasseh as mine, just like my sons Reuben and Simeon are mine. So he didn't pass on the blessing to one son who knew all about the sojourning life and had heard about the promises. He passes it down to two grandsons who were raised in a totally different culture than the rest of his family. By faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, who were essentially Egyptians. In verse 11, it says, And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has shown me also thy seed. So Jacob never dreamed that he would see Joseph again, but he even saw Joseph's sons. And Jacob says, I don't know them as Egyptians, but as my own sons, who are going to be included in the same promise. They're going to possess the land of Canaan as God promised to my fathers. And so he passes down the Abrahamic covenant to them, to Ephraim and Manasseh. It says in verse 15, And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who fed me all my life long unto this day, an angel who redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and let the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So Jacob didn't let their Egyptian royal status exempt them from the blessing. They're the ones he passed down the Abrahamic covenant to. They would also have a multitude of descendants who were under the blessing of God. So that was a faith that hoped. He was looking forward with assurance. And then he passed down the promise to Joseph's sons. And look at verse 21. It says, Israel said to Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. And notice he calls it the land of your fathers. And was it really their land? Had it ever been their land? Well, if you turn to Hebrews 11 again, we saw this last time, talking about Abraham. It says in verse 9, By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then in verse 13, it says, These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So it wasn't their land, but Jacob called it the land of his fathers because it was theirs by promise. And they claimed it. By faith. They judged him faithful who had promised. They were persuaded of the promises and they embraced them. So much so that they called the land their own. They believed God was going to give it to them because he said he would. That's faith. Faith that's fully assured of what it's looking forward to. So by faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph and told him that God would be with them and would bring them into their land. But look at what else it says about Jacob's dying faith in verse 21. It says, By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped. You know, when we were in Genesis 48, and we won't turn there again, Jacob said a number of things about God that were that worship he's talking about. remember what Jacob used to be. But this is who he is now by faith, one who's worshiping as he was dying. On his deathbed, he called God the Almighty God who appeared to me. He worshiped because he didn't think he'd ever see Joseph's face again. But there he was looking at Joseph's sons. And he said, God fed me all my life long. He said he redeemed me from all evil. he said, God will be with you and bring you into the land. Woven throughout that whole blessing of Joseph's sons, Jacob worshipped God, a man who had been a deceiver, but by faith he now worshipped the God that he had struggled to believe. You know, there's really no life too hard. God had done much for Jacob, and he opened Jacob's eyes to recognize that. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, says, worshipped. And it says he worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. You know, the only other time Jacob's staff was mentioned is when he and his wives and his children were returning to the land, and he was about to meet Esau again, and he prayed and he mentioned that he had passed over Jordan with his staff, and now he was returning. Well, that was a long time before the end of his life. Benjamin wasn't even born at that time. But here at the end of his life, when he was dying, he's still leaning on that same staff. You know, that staff had seen many good days and many really bad days. If it could talk, it could have told Jacob's whole life story. It watched him go from a deceptive young man to an old man who worshipped. But what's most significant is what that staff represented. Just by its nature, a staff is intended for use when a person is moving. And Jacob moved from place to place. He was a sojourner in this land. They dwelt in tents that could be easily picked up and moved. They never owned their own land except for burial plots. But by faith, he was leaning on the top of his staff, still confessing that he was just a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. As we saw in Abraham's life, he didn't belong here, and he knew it. He believed that God was going to give them the land that he had promised to Abraham 200 years earlier. But they were ultimately looking for a better country, a heavenly one. And he was leaning on the top of his staff for the last time, emphasizing that part of being persuaded of the promises of God meant that they were confessing they were just foreigners and strangers on this earth. So by faith, when he was dying, Jacob looked forward with assurance to the promise, and he passed down that promise to his grandsons, who were royalty in a foreign country. And he died in peace. Genesis tells us that Joseph buried his father in the land of Canaan, in the promised land, in the one little plot of ground that Jacob owned there. These all died in faith, we're told, not having received the promises, but they saw them afar off. That's why Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's why Jacob, when he was dying, blessed Joseph's sons and worshipped while leaning on the top of his staff. Their faith hoped. And we have one more patriarch who also showed a dying faith that hoped. It's in verse 22. It says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. It's kind of surprising that we only have the end of Joseph's life mentioned in the Hall of Faith. Joseph lived an amazing life of faith. He was mistreated by his brothers, by Potiphar and his wife. He spent time in prison, crucial years of his life. He was forgotten there, but he kept on trusting God. So if you wanted to do a character study on someone to learn how to trust the Lord more, you'd want to start with Joseph. But the only thing that's mentioned about Joseph's faith in the Great Hall of Faith is what it looked like after he had lived this amazing life of faith, when he was 110 years old. Just like his fathers Isaac and Jacob, Joseph was looking forward with assurance. He passes down the promise, and he died in peace. It says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And we find this in Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter in Genesis. We're told that Joseph and his family continued to live in Egypt. Joseph saw Ephraim and Manasseh's children to the third generation, but this is what he said when he died, and this is what Hebrews is talking about in verse 24. It says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Those are the last three men we've studied. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were promised a land, and they saw it afar off. And Joseph, who had only lived in the land for 17 years of his life, and now he was 110, but he was clinging to that promise, and he was fully convinced about it. So much so that he even said what God was going to do. He says, God will visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And we know what the next 300 years looked like for the children of Israel. They became slaves in Egypt. It became as impossible as it could get for them to go back to the promised land. And we know the end of the story. Joseph didn't. But faith is the evidence of things not seen. He looked forward to that day, fully convinced that it was going to happen. So much so, in Hebrews it says, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. He talked about it as if he could already see it happening. And as evidence that he believed so strongly that this was going to happen, it says, by faith he gave commandment concerning his bones. Verse 25, it says, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from here. You know, Joseph lived in prosperity and honor and fame in Egypt from the time he was 30 until he was 110. But he wanted his bones buried in a land that he probably only barely remembered, one that wasn't very kind to him, because the promises of God mattered to him. He knew the importance of the Abrahamic covenant, and he believed that God would keep that promise. And even though he knew Egypt far better than he knew the promised land, and he probably even owned a great deal of his own land in Egypt, he committed his bones to the children of Israel as a token that God would fulfill his promise. The children of Israel made a vow that they would take his bones back when they left Egypt to claim the promised land. So Joseph died in peace because his faith hoped. It says in verse 26, so Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And for the next 300 years, his bones were in a coffin in Egypt as a continuous reminder that by faith, Joseph made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. And he had made a commandment concerning his bones. That box of bones was a constant reminder to them that they would be leaving Egypt. And they would be given the promised land just as God had promised. And if you look ahead to Exodus chapter 13, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. We're going to talk about Moses next. But Israel has been in slavery for 300 years. God has sent the 10 plagues on Egypt. Pharaoh is finally letting the children of Israel go. And it says in Exodus 13, verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had solemnly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you will carry up my bones away from here with you. So here it happened, just as Joseph, by faith, 300 years earlier, said it would. He made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and they did depart, and they took Joseph's bones with them. And then if you look in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua 24, God has given them the promised land, and they're living there. And here at the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua 24, verse 32, it says, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a plot of ground which Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor. So God gave them the land, and they buried Joseph's bones there as a reminder that God had done as he promised, just as Joseph believed he would. So the promise had been passed from Abraham to Isaac, and then Isaac passed it down to Jacob, and Jacob passed it down to Joseph's sons, and Joseph made sure that all the children of Israel at that time knew it was going to happen. And this was all by faith, the evidence of things not seen. They were fully convinced of who God is and what he has said, and they lived and they died in the full conviction of that. Their faith hoped, they were looking forward with that assurance. They passed down the promise, and they each died in peace. And everything they were hoping for happened as God had promised. Faith hopes. But what that ultimately looked like is that they rested on a promise. And that's really what everybody's faith at the end of the road is going to look like. Faith that hopes is one that's resting on a promise. And the promise that we have eternal life through Christ is what we'll be hoping in when we die. We can't die in faith until we're sure of that promise. A person doesn't really know how to live until he knows how to die. And we can say that another way, too. If a person knows how to die, then he knows how to live. If we know our faith is going to hope in death, then we know how to live by faith. We should know how to live because we know how to die by faith. These three men lived lives of faith, but that faith climaxed in death. Their dying faith was just a demonstration that their living faith was genuine, and it had carried them through life just like it carried them through death. And I think if we remembered the promise of eternal life more, reminding ourselves that we're just strangers and pilgrims, leaning on the top of our staffs, so to speak, then we would find that just as they died in peace because their faith hoped, we can live in peace with that same hoping faith. You know, if a person knows how to die in peace, there's no reason he can't live in peace. Luke 18, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? If he doesn't find it among his own, I think it'll be because the promises have been forgotten." So before we fall asleep tonight, let's think of a promise that we're going to rest on and never forget, because that's the example of faith that they left for us. Faith hopes because it's resting on a promise. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for recording these stories in Scripture, that we hear your promises and then we get to watch them be fulfilled. I thank you for the many promises you have in your word, and that you prove throughout your word that you are a promise-keeping God. I pray that we'll trust you more. Thank you that we can have hope in you in death as well as in life. In Jesus' name, amen.